Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now a bunch of Marvel news updates. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And if you've got tips, stories you want us to cover, you can email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Let's kick it off with a big piece of news from the number one scooper. You know them, you love them, the U.S. Copyright Office.
These guys are crazy. They're digging in. They are the paparazzi that the Copyright Office has are insane.
Yeah, they have revealed, thanks to a new listing for Deadpool and Wolverine, and this is a spoiler, or at least they haven't revealed it yet, so if you don't want to know, turn away. But Emma Corrin, who we knew was in the movie, you probably know her from The Crown and other things, is playing Cassandra Nova, aka Professor X's evil sister, in the movie. There's a little bit of a hint of this in the trailer that was released in the Super Bowl. You saw somebody bald walking away from the camera. Yes, you look like you're ready to jump in and talk Cassandra Nova.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, if that's Cassandra Nova, then with the person that is in the Doctor Doom, everyone was like, is that Doctor Doom in the Deadpool trailer? Or is that Cassandra Nova adjacent? Is that, what's his name? Zorn from like Magneto?
Oh, adjacent? You think there's Zorn in the movie? There might be Zorn.
I don't know. Who's in the metal mask? It's definitely not Doctor Doom. It's going to be someone X-Men adjacent.
Mm-hmm. I think so. You're jumping into the Metal Mask guy for a second.
Yes.
No,
sorry,
it's fine.
Sorry.
You're excited about Metal Mask guy. I get it. So just a
mystery.
Quick little bit of explanation. I really actually cannot explain Cassandra Nova other than the way that I did. But she was created by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, I think, was the artist on that. But she's exactly what she sounds like. She's Professor X, but evil. She has... I don't know.
That's it. She's very evil. She killed a lot of people in Genosha in the comics.
Right, exactly. And I think, wasn't there something with like her tearing out people's brains or something? I got to go back and read those comics. Anyway, makes a lot of sense, I think, to have her as the villain in the movie. We're clearly working in a lot of the Fox characters. We're working in multiversal variants. So I guess we'll have to see if this is Professor X's sister, an alternate universe version of Professor X or something like
that.
There's a lot of possibilities there, but I'm into this. I think this is a good villain, honestly.
Definitely. It's a way to get some jokes in there and a way to have a villain that's legitimately scary. Because Cassandra Nova in the comics is scary. Emma Corrin's a great actor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is good shape all around.
And I'd also throw out there, I recently rewatched Deadpool because I had completely forgotten most of the movie. And mind you, Ed Screed, who plays the villain, good villain, but I could not tell you what his name is other than Francis or what's going on with him or anything like that. Same with Deadpool 2. I got to rewatch that again. Please, nobody's listening to the podcast, yell at me. But like, this is not a series known for their iconic villains. So bringing in an evil Professor X, I think that should hopefully do it. I guess we'll see.
Well, especially since all the rumors are surrounding what we're going to be seeing in general in this movie, I think this movie's set up to be just like a grand takedown of all that's come before, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
And to get into the Man in the Iron Mask thing, I don't think that is anybody, is my guess. I think that's just a flunky who is existing in the void. It certainly seems
a flunky.
Like a flunky. Yeah.
A goof? A goon?
A goon!
A hench person?
Yep, that's it, I think.
You're telling me that you're including a random dude in the trailer as a huge trailer?
Looks cool. I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of the different Fox characters and a lot of the different actors throughout the movie. That's clearly been hinted. We've seen some of them already with Pyro. We know Jennifer Garner is going to be back as Elektra. So I think we're going to get a lot of that heady stew of the Fox stuff hanging out in the void that we originally saw in Loki. But Deadpool is going to interact with them. How Cassandra Nova works into the mix, I don't know.
I'm just saying, you got Cassandra Nova. Zorn's right there. He's right next door.
Everybody loves Zorn. Everybody loves Zorn.
Metal Mask.
There you go.
It writes itself.
I mean, they could do, this is a big spoiler for the same comic books from Grant Morrison, but one of the best reveals in comic book history is they introduce this character named Zorn, who has a metal mask. He has some sort of undefined powers. And I want to say about 20 issues in, he takes off the mask and it turns out to be a Magneto. So
amazing.
Absolutely. They could do the same thing in this movie. Why not?
I think that would be a great reveal, and it'd be funny, especially if Deadpool's like, "Whoa, who are you?" If he doesn't know him or something, like, there's a million ways to handle it. That's great.
Yeah. Next up, this is going back a little bit, but we're doing some catch up here. Obviously, we covered Madam Web last week on the podcast, so doing a little bit of news catch up as we go. Hollywood Reporter dropped a big Marvel breakdown of what's going on, and I'll throw out a couple of news items that came out of that story. Darkhold Diaries, this was actually I would frame it as like a Marvel reclamation project. We're like, oof, Marvel had a bad year. Things looking up now. Here we go.
Yeah.
So here's the things that are looking up. Darkhold Diaries had 5 days of reshoots scheduled. They only used one of them, and they were done.
Great flex. Who needs it?
There you go.
You don't even want to pick up one shot on something else in those 4 days? Okay.
Do you feel like maybe they got home and they're like, wow, we really nailed that? Oh, no! Oh, we forgot 4 days of scenes. Oh, God.
I mean, it's crazy to get money for a week of work and then be like, nah. not interested, unless they're like, let's take that other 4 days and throw that money into the special effects or something.
I honestly would do a pizza party for the cast and crew. Like, that's always.
Hey,
nice
guys,
thing.
You've earned this. There's nothing production people like more than pizza. So, like, definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Classic boss trick. Next up to writing things, Eric Pearson, who previously did polishes on Thor Ragnarok, and I believe wrote, I think he has the main writing credit now on Black Widow, is doing a polish on Fantastic Four. And Joanna Callow, who was one of the main folks behind The Bear, is apparently working on the Thunderbolts script, which, of note, Thunderbolts, according to Florence Pugh, has already started filming. So she's got a Joanna Callow better.
Hurry up.
Maybe she can get those 4 days from Darkhold Diaries and move them over.
You know? That's what's crazy when it's people are like, we're shooting, and someone else is like, I just got the script. I'm going to do a pass. It's like, huh? That's not how. No way.
I mean, but that's exactly what happens all the time. But that's fine. This is, I think, Marvel going back to their thing of getting a bunch of, and I don't say this dismissively, but like old reliables to come in and punch up the script. People who know what they're doing can actually give it some sort of shape.
Well, and let me, just to break down these two writers, like, it sounds like Eric Pearson feels like he could be doing a straight punch pass, which would be like taking jokes, adding jokes, boosting things up, being like, oh, what, if we switch this around here, it would land really much funnier. That's great. That's often something that's done last in my experience. So, like, totally fine, totally normal to be doing a punch pass at this point. And then as far as The Bear, that could be similarly a punch pass, or perhaps like, hey, let's clean up these emotional arcs a little bit, add some more stakes at different points, especially someone like Joanna Callow. The Bear is unbelievable at adding stakes and emotional stakes in a very concise fashion. Perfect writer to bring in. Bear season 3 just announced. This is Marvel news. Not really. June. Can't wait.
I can't wait either. I also hope in Thunderbolts they had a scene where Bucky is throwing forks at Red Guardian. I think that would be very fun.
Easy, yeah. And everyone's everyone says yes, chef, as like, and looks at the camera.
Sweet. And last but certainly not least, out of this Hollywood Reporter part, we kind of knew this already, I think, but apparently, according to them, Marvel is officially dropping Kang from the Kang Dynasty. They were very careful to mention the story, things that we've already talked about here on the podcast, that Marvel said, no, has nothing to do with Jonathan Majors. We saw the reaction to Quantumania. We were already moving away from Kang, which is, of course, why Kang was the main feature of Loki season 2.
And the movie's called The Kang Dynasty. It's a big clue that they weren't moving away from him.
But they're moving away from that and are not going to be doing, not at least not calling it Avengers The Kang Dynasty anymore, and maybe moving away from Kang as a multiversal villain as a whole. We've talked about this a lot, but what are your thoughts here, Justin?
Big knock for Kang Gang. Kang Gang is having a tough season in general, but I think this is good. Leaving the Jonathan Majors stuff aside, I think they spent too heavily. They invested too heavily in Kang, and the investment was just not paying off. I think from a storytelling perspective, they just used him too much for him to be an exciting villain. It doesn't work in the same way that they did with Thanos, where we just got little pieces that built towards something awesome. We had Kang. We saw him. He lost multiple times. That's not exciting for us going forward.
Totally agree. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's been a lot of rumors and talks about Colman Domingo potentially getting cast as Kang, jumping into the part left vacant by Jonathan Majors. So he talked to Comic Book about this during a recent interview. Here's what he said. I know what you're going to ask. You're going to talk about the MCU. It's funny how people are online talking about this the moment it started happening. Literally, I think I was on my couch and I was like, what rumor? Who? Where is this coming from? I just didn't think about it. The next day I woke up, it's everywhere. You know, listen, my team has had conversations with Marvel about some aspect of the MCU for years. Do I know this to be true or not? I actually don't know. I feel like my team doesn't bring me something unless it's real, so I don't know. I could be in conversation, but I'm not sure. I would welcome a conversation around it.
I think no. I mean, this feels like something that people are like, wouldn't it be cool? Coleman Domingo's having an epic season right now. So I think replacing Kang is clearly not, I think, not what they're doing. So, like, I doubt it. I just doubt it.
I love Coleman Domingo. I've interviewed him multiple times for Fear of the Walking Dead in particular, and he is a delightful, lovely man. Like you said, he is on a career upswing. This gets back to something we were talking a couple of weeks ago. I don't think he needs Marvel right now. You know, yeah. I think that's the big thing is like him jumping into a part vacated by Jonathan Majors, even though he would crush it, he would be great. He is a terrifying villain when he wants to be. He doesn't need to do that. He has so many other things in his life that he's doing, other parts that he's doing that are better and more lauded. It's not necessary.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think his upswing is continued. It's not even done. I think he's about to have another peak, I think, in the next year or two.
For sure. So Iman Vellani apparently has been, quote, assured Miss Marvel will return. This was an interview with Polygon. The full quote is, I have been assured, so that feels good, but there's no more assurance than that. They give me breadcrumbs and I try to make a meal out of it.
You're telling us, sister. Yum, yum. Breadcrumb pie news, again.
News quote podcast.
Love breadcrumbs. They're so tiny. You get to taste everyone.
Yeah. Yes, of course she's going to be back. I think, you know, even though the Marvels was a disaster, I don't think they dislike these performers in any aspect. And I don't think they have been hurt by the performance of the movie. That's my
Well, take. And we got to remember that Marvel's not doing the DC thing. DC's like sort of hard restarting. Marvel's soft restarting. So I think all of the characters are still on the table, especially the ones that people like that are popular. And I do think there's another rumor flying around about a movie that might collect a lot of these young, cool characters.
What a great tee up there, Justin. Why don't we go into our next news item, broken by everybody's second favorite scooper after the U.S. Copyright Office, Comic Book Club, our site. Whoop, whoop. So based on Production Weekly, they very briefly put up a listing for a Young Avengers movie. There weren't a lot of details there. They listed, of course, Kevin Feige and Lou Desposito as the producers. They also had the production coordinator from Marvel as the contact person. They said it goes into production in 2025 for they didn't have a release date. Now, here's the thing about Production Weekly is they will put stuff up, but they don't vet it. They're basically putting up a thing for people who are in production to throw in their resumes when there's a potential production. There was a scooper who came out with a rumor saying there's a young
scooper with a rumor. Scooper with a rumor.
Not the U.S. Copyright Office. Another one. And not us either. Saying that there was a Young Avengers movie in the works. So I think that's why that went up. So very much like enormous grain of salt with this. But also, of course, they have a Young Avengers movie in development.
It's the most obvious thing. Like, we've been literally teed up for it at the end of the Marvel. So like, and it's all the characters. At the Thunderbolts train was slowly collecting everyone. And then the Young Avengers train is doing that same thing. So like, and Thunderbolts is happening. So.
Well, let me throw something out at you. This is purely a theory on my part, but assuming that Young Avengers is in some stage of development, even though we haven't heard about a director, we haven't heard about a writer or anything like that, but we do know these stars are around and are eager to do it. It was teased at the end of the Marvels. What if, while pivoting for away from Kang Dynasty, the next Avengers movie in 2026 becomes Young Avengers? And then after that, you do Secret Wars. that brings everybody together.
I think that makes sense. It's a little bit, I think Marvel's headed for whatever their cleanest win is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Young Avengers is the cleanest win. I think a more Secret Wars, a bringing everyone back together, mm-hmm. and sort of a more true passing of the baton. Like Endgame didn't really pass the baton. It sort of closed the story, and Marvel was just confident that they could just do it again. Yeah. And it's proved that they haven't been able to really nail it. But a movie that really passes the baton to the Young Avengers, I think, would be better. But the contracts, business take, the contracts for all the Young Avengers are probably in place. The contracts to bring back all the old Avengers, not in place. So yeah. I agree with you. This would make more sense as a business order to do it.
Less so story. And nothing against them, but these Young Avengers are not getting any younger at this point. So if they want to move on it, they got to go soon.
Quarter-life crisis Avengers.
I could see a world where they call it Young Avengers, or maybe they even call it something else. Like, I don't know. I don't have a good example of a title. But they do a Young Avengers movie with all the actors. You got Iman Vellani in there. You got Haley Steinfeld. You got Xochitl Gomez. You have Joe Locke, who is probably going to be Wiccan in Agatha Darkhold Diaries. All of those other actors in there. I know I'm skipping a couple in there. But maybe you get something like some of the older Avengers are guiding them. Like you have Anthony Mackie is in there. Florence Pugh is in there. And they're like, oh, boy, these kids, what are they doing? They're really messing stuff up. Somehow that leads into Secret Wars.
That could be. But don't you think they need a bigger Avenger in there?
This has been mentioned before. We've talked about this. Spider-Man. You throw Tom Holland as Spider-Man. Maybe he's like, yep, I'm the leader now, and he can't do it.
I think that's amazing. Then you have like a Champions situation, the mm-hmm. recent Marvel comic, and he's be a great bridge because he has the cred of the older Avengers, but he's young, mm-hmm. as opposed to the two you just listed. Florence Pugh doesn't have Avengers cred. Anthony Mackie just isn't as popular. So like, I don't know. I think you're onto something with having Spidey in there.
We'll see what happens. That gets into a whole Sony contracts thing, which also we don't really know anything about. A couple of quick hits, breadcrumbs, to use Iman Vellani's
term there. Yeah. Don't make me hungry.
Eben Wass-Bachrach teased Fantastic Four kind of on Kimmel. He said he knew he was playing the Thing since August. He played coy about the 60s setting, and he said there's a Fantastic Four group text chain that was made, of course, by Pedro Pascal.
Oh, man. Pedro loves to chat. He loves to chop it up. That guy's out there.
Yeah.
What do you think they're chatting about?
I don't know.
Spandex question mark?
Who do you think's texting the most? Pedro Pascal. And who do you think is Knox texting? Probably everybody else.
Yeah, I would guess everybody else. Evan, the fact that he brought it up, Eben Wass-Bachrach on the show is like, see, I don't need to text because I said it on TV. I'm out.
Every morning, Pedro Pascal wakes up and is like, hey, did you guys see this meme? And nobody answers.
Morning, fam. Should we get in the Fantastic Car? Get brunch?
Vanessa Kirby every once in a while puts a little ha-ha sticker on it, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's very funny, yes. And the Human Torch guy is like, I'm in this, right? You guys remember me?
It's at some point, somebody's like, it's weird that there's only three people on our Fantastic Four texture. How did that happen?
Add the Human Torch, which is named Quinn,
Joseph Quinn. I don't know why. I know who he is, and I know his name, and I also can never remember his name.
Something about it. Joseph. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Very generic. Let's move on to another Joseph, though, and talk about Joseph Locke, who teased Agatha talking to Variety. He says, again, a bunch of non-stuff, but probably sings in the show, but he can't confirm.
He's singing.
Yeah, he's singing. He and Catherine Hahn wore matching Vans to the audition, and that's when he was like, oh, I think I got this.
Weird.
And he really likes screaming at Catherine Hahn in the show.
That's a series of crazy things. I think there's an episode where it's all singing, so he's singing. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but I know that to be true, that they're and I think it's going to be jumping genres like we had sort of said. So that explains the different names. It's sort of a way of doing the WandaVision thing without doing it the exact WandaVision thing. I think it all makes sense.
And I'll throw out there, I went to see Sweeney Todd the other night, and Joe Locke is in that right now for the next couple of months. He sings very nicely. He has a nice, clear singing voice, and he was very good on stage. Clearly had a ton of fans in the audience who were cheering for him over the two leads, Aaron Tveit and Sutton Foster. So that was fun. The thing that I thought was most interesting was in his bio in the playbill, he listed that he was joining Marvel in Agatha Darkhold Diaries, which obviously is not necessarily the be-all, end-all, but like, that's what he's calling it. So maybe that's actually what the title of the show is. I don't know.
I think so. I think so.
Ray Winstone talked about his experience on Black Widow, specifically the reshoots, and said it was soul-destroying was the word that he used.
Yikes.
Yeah. He specifically talked to Radio Times Magazine and said it was fine until you have to do the reshoots. Then you find out a few producers have come down and your performance is too much. It's too strong. That's the way Marvel works. It can be soul-destroying because you feel like you're doing great work. I actually said you ought to recast it because that was it for me, and you end up doing it again because you're contracted to do it. Otherwise, you end up in court, and it's like being kicked in the balls.
Yikes. That's some intense criticism, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the same time, he's like, saying he doesn't like somebody telling him his performance was bad, which I understand. Normal. I also don't like that.
Yeah, true. True. Hey, we're doing reshoots on this podcast as well right afterwards, Alex. Oh, you're doing a little too much.
Oh, no. I got to modulate my performance more. A couple of other quick ones we'll throw out at the end here. There was a story, again, in The Hollywood Reporter inside Madam Web's collapse, which I was like, where did you get this information from? Literally anywhere. But according to an industry veteran, we're not going to see another Madam Web movie for another decade plus.
I love that. Way to talk about modulating. 10 years we'll revisit.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one, which was really crappy, another veteran studio source said, I don't know if women are enough to carry the box office here. I saw some very apt criticism of like, no, if anything, it's on men who are assholes to stop being assholes about it and go see these movies they want. Also, stop blaming audiences. Like, they see things or not. There are people who jerks, but like, I don't know.
Also, it's just like, I don't know. It's the issue is less about all that shit and more about like this movie just felt like all the other movies in a bad way and felt too weird in also a bad way. So it's like you need to find a way to make those things right and stop worrying about like, well, the Q2 four quadrant miss and all that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a movie that people didn't want to see. Like, I don't think it has to do with gender or anything like that. And stop putting the onus on women to support movie that have women in it instead. Yeah.
You can't just have a movie with women and be like, look, see, we're brave.
Yeah. Wow. we're real allies here.
Yeah.
We were joking about that in the podcast, but, you know, we were joking. At last, and possibly least, Venom 3 apparently is almost done shooting. Juno Temple said so. I believe this was at the SAG Awards on the carpet. So a couple of weeks ago now, she said it was a wild, wonderful ride with an incredible cast. She can't wait for it to get out in the world. She thinks it's going to be a good one. And I'll note, we got a little, this is not a scoop necessarily, but we had a listener of the show named Ian who shot us some pics of Tom Hardy filming Venom 3 at the Bellagio Fountain. Said he was in Vegas for work and not able to cross the street for a while because they were filming Venom 3, and said through some terrible photos, he called them terrible photos, of Tom Hardy. They are very blurry and across the street. But thank you, Ian, for sending this. Here's my big theory. Venom 3 is a shot-for-shot remake of Ocean's 11. What do you think?
That makes sense. All symbiote. Everyone's goop, except for Tom Hardy. Smart. I'm ready. Let's see. Venom 3, will it work? Who knows?
I guess we'll find out at the end of this year. And for all of you out there, if you've got tips or stories you want us to cover, you can email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Coming out, we would love to chat with you about Marvel stuff. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at comicbooklive on Twitter/X, comicbookclublive on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay Marvelous.
We'll see you at the copyright office. Lighten that shit up for all the rumors.